y'all, the Boss Man Show. We're here with Mississippi Valley State's football coach, Mr. Dancy, on the Boss Man Show. Coach Dancy, off the practice field. How you doing down in Mississippi, man?
Man, doing great, man. Blessed to be, blessed to see another day, and glad to be here on your show.
Coach, tell me this, man. I know you're one of the youngest coaches in FCS football, 33 years old, man. So I'm 32, like I told you off the air, man. So being the age that you are, man, leading this program to the interim tag off, you made you the full-time head coach in 2018, man. How did it make you feel knowing they had that much trust and belief in you to lead this program going forward in Mississippi Valley State?
It makes me feel great, man. The biggest thing, man, it makes me feel good knowing that I can make a difference in these young men's lives, not just on the field, but off the field, showing them that, you know, somebody my age can be successful at an early age. It's all about the hard work and the dedication you put into your craft.
Yes, indeed, Coach. Like you said, man, you can inspire at any age, you know, and like I said, you know, you and I both in our early 30s, we can still relate to these young men. We're not too much older than they are. They won't call us old men or dismiss us. We can still relate to them a little bit, so they get help in that regard as well, too, because you kind of be able to do what they've been through, but not that long ago, in my opinion.
Right. It's always good when I can go out some days at practice and show them a little something that I used to do, and they like, wow, Coach, you still can do it. So it's always good and exciting to be able to run around with the youth, man. I tell you what, man, it makes you feel younger again.
You got that right. I agree with you there. I agree with you there on that one, Coach. So let me ask you this. Going into your year two here, what has been the biggest difference in your programs year two from year one, being able to establish your culture, you know, get more of your guys in, build a camaraderie? So what's the big difference for you from going from year one to year two here?
I think the team, when you talk about it, the whole phase of it, I think, you know, when you go out and now you had a chance to go out and have a good recruit season, a full recruit season with you being at the helm, the head coach, I think that makes all the difference in the world, because right now we brought in 43 new players, man, and I think that's just the difference in itself, being able to go out and recruit the way you need to recruit, the way you want to recruit, the way going out and get guys that fits your offense, fits your defense, but most of all, guys that want to be here and play at Mississippi Valley State. You know, those are the type of guys we want to get, man, the guys that want to be here and that want to play at this level and want to play for this university.
Now, every 43 new guys, Coach, how do you go about building that camaraderie and chemistry amongst the team, having so many new guys been infused into this program here this past offseason here?
I think having 3 weeks of football camp, you know, we came in August 1st, man, and we just broke camp last Saturday. So you're talking about almost 3 good weeks of bonding. You know, we did a team bonding every week, man, and those guys enjoyed each other. We made sure we always talk about team first, you know, because if you put the team first, the individual's goals will come. So I'm really excited about this team because of course I got a bunch of new guys, but understand, man, we haven't won here in a while. And when I mean a while, you're talking about 2006, and some of these guys were still, you know, in elementary school. So, and when we brought them here, most of these guys come from winning programs, you know, talking about when you talk about junior college guys coming from East Mississippi, Gulf Coast, those guys don't really know nothing about losing. So just getting them here, man, and having them to tell some of their testimonies to some of the younger guys and older guys, and just giving them the team bond and doing different activities with them to bond these guys, man, I thought it went great.
And, Coach, what is like the type of young man you're looking to bring into your program? I know you want a young man that probably takes school important, wants to be Mississippi Valley State, wants to get the HBCU experience of being in the SWAC conference. So what kind of young men are you looking for when you go out and recruit and sell this program to young men, like in junior college or high school seniors, who say, hey, this is a good place for you to come and get your career off and complete your education, and if you play well enough, put out good film, the eye of the scout does not lie. The scout will find you.
Exactly, man. And I think you hit it on the head, man. I want a kid that's all about, you know, academics, man. I want football players. True enough, I want football players. But me personally, whatever you do in the classroom is a product of what you'll do on the field. And if you're not doing real well in the classroom, or if you're a bonehead in the classroom, then that's the type of play I'm gonna get from you on the field. So of course I'm looking for that guy that focuses and stays on his studies. But overall, man, you want a good football player, man. We want guys that really love to play the game that want to play the game the right way and that want to work at it to be better and be great every day. Somebody who got the work ethic and what it takes to be better, to be great every day. But I also say I want a kid that wants to be at Mississippi Valley State, you know, because at the end of the day, you got to want to be here in order for you to be successful here. And that, those are the type of kids that I'm looking for to bring in this program.
And, Coach, this offseason, I know you did probably did a self-scout evaluation of your program. So what did you guys prioritize this offseason for is getting better as a program, as a team?
Just going back through last season and seeing some things that we need to get better with, you know, in all three phases of the game. And I thought we attacked those things, you know, throughout the course of this training camp. I thought we got better. I thought we got more consistent offensively and defensively. I just want those guys to be great leaders, man, because at the end of the day, we got to stop the opponent. And I think those guys got to be the leaders on the team when it comes to defense and offense and special teams, man. Just being more consistent and understanding field position and where we need to be, and you know, and overall, just how we can push this team ahead in all three phases of the game. And we just believe, you know, playing great defense holistically can help us. And when I mean defense holistically, I'm talking about defense stopping our opponents from scoring, offense not turning the ball over, special teams putting us in very good. Giving us very good field position so we can score, or we don't have to play with our backs against the wall all the time defense.
You got that right. Attack that ball, because the ball is everything. Attack the ball. It's all about the ball. Right. Protect that ball at all costs.
Yes, sir.
Now, Coach, let me add this by you, man. This offseason, who are some guys with the workouts really – who want to give our listeners a little tidbit of some guys who really worked out hard this summer, got stronger, got better mentally, physically, and emotionally, who are going to be on the field this year playing a key role for you. So let's kind of keep an eye out for these guys.
Well, we had about 40 guys here in the summer, so, you know, close to 40, 50 guys here throughout the summer, so – it's kind of hard to point out names, man, because I hate to point out names too early and then it becomes disappointing. But I just think as a team, man, as a unit, man, I thought those guys did wonderful, man, because we had guys that came in throughout the summer and just volunteered their time, you know, and paid for it themselves just to be a part of the change of this program, man. So, you know, just a few guys, you know, from a senior standpoint, you know, you get, you know, on the offensive line, you had Zach Sayers, you had Corn Spradley, you know, you had those guys, man, that came and put in some work, you know, Tracy Tompkins defensively, Jamenta Shaw defensively, you know, Jonathan Jones, man. I mean, those guys are all hard workers for us, and they're seniors, man. So we're expecting some big things out of those guys, man. And they have dedicated themselves to the university and to this game. So looking forward to seeing what those seniors going to do for me this year.
And, Coach, I looked at your schedule. Outside of SWAT game, I know you got a game coming up here later this week against Tennessee State University up at the John Mary Classic up at TSU at Nissan Stadium. You got a trip to Lamar as well. Plus, you got home games against Bethune-Cookman in Virginia, University of Lynchburg there. So what do these games do for you in the Mississippi Valley State brand when playing these non-conference games that you're playing outside of that SWAT play you guys have every year?
Well, it gives us a chance to go against you know, not to say big time competition, but other teams from different conferences, new teams, you know, unfamiliar teams that we're going against, man. It gives us a chance to put our guys against some unfamiliar teams and you know, different conference. So, you know, it's going to be a different challenge for us. We're familiar with the All Points, the Jackson States. Those are games that we know we have to play, but you know, when you bring on out of conference teams, it just gives us a new face, a new challenge. But it also gives us a different type of exposure. You know, it gives Valley a different, different exposure to especially when the game's on TV. You know, it gives us a challenge, and it also helps us out when they're talking about giving us exposure to people who have never seen us play. You know, as far as Texas, as far as you know, down South Florida. So it just gives us a different exposure across the world.
And coach, I want to ask coach this question. Who are some coaches in the business and some coaches who help you personally and professionally here, man, and made you the man you are today to lead this university and this team going forward?
Oh, man, you talking about who helped me and made me, you know, the person I am today, who really helped me get to this far? You talking about, you know, Coach Rick Cummings, man, one of the best coaches I've ever been around, man, somebody who's taught me everything I know about the game of football, man. He taught me a lot. I could talk about Coach Fox forever, man, because it's like deja vu. I'm so familiar with Tennessee State. Of course, I played at Jackson State and I played against them. But, you know, when I GA'd and coached at my alma mater, Jackson State, you know, Coach Cummings was the head coach. And I had a chance to go everywhere with him. And so when we played Tennessee State in the classic, you know, as a young coach, I was right by his side at every interview, you know, at every banquet, every convention, everything that was going on, he took me with him, man. So, man, when you talking about just training me and getting me to this point, man, you talking about Coach Cummings, but also, you know, Coach Darian Hayes, Coach Greg Ruffin, man. The list continues of guys who've helped me, you know, get to this point, man. And like you said, I never want those guys to forget that they have helped me along, you know, they have helped me, so, you know, get to this point. And glad you mentioned that, because I really hope those guys are listening, because they, you know, they had a big contribution on where I am today. So hope those guys are listening.
And Coach, how was that classic in Memphis? So they had the classic at the Liberty Bowl there at TSU Jackson State. I've been to it one time, and it was kind of live there when I went there, Coach. How was it to kind of play there and be involved in that classic, man, down in Memphis?
It's an experience. You have to be there to understand it, man. I promise you. And I haven't been in the past 6 years, but, man, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, especially for the players, man. You're talking about almost 40,000-50,000 people in the stadium, man, and you know, packed house, and you can smell barbecue 10, 20, 30 miles away, man. It's just a fun, festive community atmosphere, man, and it's an experience that you have to live out in order to understand it. So it's great, man. It's great for the players, great for the teams, great for the university. So it's a big-time college experience.
And, Coach, talk about this, man. I like to ask coaches questions because I like to get inside. What's your day like, Coach? You get the office maybe 6 in the morning, maybe get your workout in, make a practice plan, watch film. So how do your days go this time of year, man?
Oh, man, it's almost 24/7. You know, when you think about it, I do a lot, man. It's a lot comes with it, you know. You talking about getting up at 5:45, 5:30, 5:45 every morning, you know, getting ready for, you know, because we meet at 6 a.m. in the morning. So you talking about staff, you know, you talking about staff meeting at 6, going to, you know, then you going to O&D defensive meetings, then you know you want to pull together back as a staff to talk about those meetings, and then you have practice, you know, then you come back and you got to meet with your guys. So it's an all day thing. It's a 24/7 job, but you gotta love it. You gotta love what you do and do what you love. So, you know, I was called to do this job, and it's no complaints. Just roll up your sleeves and get it done.
And last one I got for you, coaches. Coaches, HBCU school coaches, is very important to a lot of our young black men. So, having that on you, knowing you're leading HBCU school, leading about 100 young men, trying to make them better husbands, fathers, businessmen going forward after their football career ends. So, what's about trying to help our young black men really inspires you and just wants you to keep in this role to help these young men become great men? How you becoming yourself, becoming a head coach, 33 years old here?
Man, the biggest thing, man, is not giving up on you get so caught up in, you know, the job sometimes and forget that sometimes these guys, 17, 18-year-old, 19, 20-year-old, you know, teenagers and young men, man, and they're going to make mistakes. But one thing you can't do is throw them to the side, man, because you'd rather for them to be here than somewhere out in the streets doing something that they don't have any business doing. And you want to see every guy, and you want to see all of them graduate, man. That's my biggest thing, man. I understand football. I played it at a high level, and I understand the things that come with it, man. And everybody's not going to be a professional athlete. And And that's the first thing I tell them. But everybody can graduate and be a successful black young, not only black man, but a young male, you know. So, man, that's my biggest thing, man, is not giving up on these young men, man, and pushing them as hard as I can. I'm going to stay on their neck. I tell them that all the time because, you know, Facebook is out now. When I was playing, it wasn't Facebook. And when I look back and when I'm 45, 50 years old, I want you to be successful. So when I look you up on Facebook and look you up on a social media site, I can say I made a difference in that young man's life. And I think that's the only way I receive blessings, man, if I make a difference in these young men's life. I was put here for a reason, and that's not only about football. And I feel if I can inspire these young men and let them see me doing the right thing and me progressing in the right way, then they should look at that and say that I can do the same. And if I can do it, you can do it. So I won't think biggest thing about me and the hardest thing I have, you know, is just having a soft heart for young men, man, because I know how easy it is to get in trouble, man. And if I can keep them here in school, man, that's my ultimate goal. Yeah, I want to win games. I want to win championships. But if I can get these young men to walk across that stage and be successful, like you said, great parents, great husbands, and I feel like I won a championship. I won games. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's what I'm about. That's what I've always been about, helping these young black men succeed, whether it's football or in classroom. But I talk to my guys all the time about, you know, the biggest game we got to tackle is the game of life after football. I think that's the hardest challenge for some of these kids because when you play football for so long and it's gone and it's taken away, sometimes you feel empty and it's hard to replace an empty feeling. But if you let them know that, man, it's life out there bigger than football, then they'll start to understand and they'll start to plan in the right way.
Amen to that, Coach. I couldn't say any better, Coach. Coach Dancy, I wish you all the best of luck Saturday at Tennessee State University. Hope you get the John Mayer Classic and win that game up there against the Tigers up there. And I hope to talk to you at the end of real soon when SWAC play starts.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate it, man, anytime you need.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much. Have a great day and best of luck to you, man.
Thank you. You too. All right.
All right. It's Coach Dancy, people, on the Boss Man Show.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blueberry Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting or Twitter at Coach TWill24 or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Hip-hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you two discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, IllStreetRex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh. Family Grind ENT. Believe in it. Get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush.
Vicky, who is that?
An old boyfriend.
Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City.
Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow.
Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.
All right, folks, back in the jail, the Boss Man Show, joined by the Hampton Pirates head coach, but joining him, the Boss Man Show. Coach Joyner, how are things up there in Hampton, man?
Doing pretty good, man. Trying to get ready for this upcoming season. We started practice yesterday. We started classes yesterday. So we're able to resume some of our workouts. So yeah, we're feeling good about ourselves right about now.
Yeah, Coach, year 11 for you, heading year 11 at Leighton Hampton. Coach, what does it mean to you having this longevity being at Hampton so long as an assistant and now 11 years as the head coach?
In today's climate of athletics, longevity is not promise to any head coach. So to be somewhere where they believed in me for this length of time, and I've been able to produce a little bit, hopefully, you know, to keep that belief is special to me. So again, I love it here. I love Hampton University, and hopefully we can keep this going for 10, 11 more years.
Oh, I hear that, Coach. Yes, indeed. So that's the next climate where coaches change every 3 to 4 or 5 years, man. Being 11 years, man, I tell you, you definitely one of the longest tenure ones I know for sure in D1 ball.
Well, I mean, you know, as my uncle always told me and my father, and they both have had longevity where they were. But my uncle, who's still living, has been at John C. Smith probably close to 50 years, 40-something 50 years. You know, the most important thing is to continue to work. And if you're blessed enough to work in the same place throughout your career, you know, you can't get anything better than that.
Got that right, Coach. Come off last year, CIT, semifinal run, Coach. What did you and your staff prioritize this offseason when you did your self-scouts and evaluation of the program and you guys' players?
We did lose some guys, 3 starters, but we do have – probably our 2 best basketball players back with Jermaine Merrill and Greg Hextall. We did go out and recruit. We brought in 8 guys, the bulk of them being junior college and 1 transfer and 3 freshmen. But, you know, we went after more length than more athleticism. I'm not going to say we're 6'10", 6'10", but we got a bunch of 6'5", and 6'7", you know, good-sized athletic kids that can do a bunch of different things on the court. You know, they're not one-dimensional players, and that's what I was kind of after. This year, going into our second year into the Big South, and to try to build off of what we did last year.
Yeah, you kind of led me to my next question. How was year one in the Big South? I've been in the MEAC for so many years. How was the transition going from the MEAC to playing these Big South schools?
The MEAC is a good league, a great league. The Big South, from top to bottom, is a very strong league. I mean, we had it was 8 teams with 18 wins or better. And I mean, it was a 5-way tie, I think, from 3rd through 8th or 9th place, you know, or 8th place, somewhere around there. So, again, the strength of the league kind of speaks for itself. You know, it was kind of different for us because, you know, being in the MEAC for that amount of time, talent come and talent go, but you kind of get used to how people play, how coaches play, kind of what to expect when you're seeing the same guys 2, 3, and 4 years at a time. Last year was kind of different for us because it was almost like we played 30-some-odd non-conference games because you're not going to, you know, even though what you see on paper and what you see on film, sometimes when you play against people, their tendencies are a little different than what you thought. So you had to learn that. And I think at the beginning we had our ups and downs, started out well, then hit a streak where we lost 3 or 4 straight games, maybe even 5, but then to win 8 or 9 of our last 10 or 11, you know, I think, you know, we adjusted well. So we're looking for big things this year.
And, Coach, let me ask you, in recruiting-wise, how's been the Big South change recruiting for you now that you're in a larger mid-major conference now than you were being in the MEAC?
Well, I think it attracts, one, just the change alone. Anytime you have change, of course, it can affect you positively and negatively, but it affected us positively on the recruiting end because in some small parts of the basketball world, that's a big deal. And then also saying that you moved to the Big South, I think if you could go by number, I think in some 1 or 2 publications where the MEAC were maybe the 31st or the 30th or the 32nd ranked conference, we jumped to the Big South. That was 19 last year. So when you're able to boast those types of things and then being able to present the kids that, you know, the different things that we're doing in athletics and the moves that we're making as a university, it helped our recruiting a lot. I think we got a lot of kids definitely interested. And I'm not going to say they weren't interested before, but, they did give us a different type of look, and we were able to capitalize on that, we think.
Yes, indeed. And, Coach, as you move to June, July, you know, to get to work the guys out, who are some guys you want to highlight who really improve their games this summer? It's really going to help you out real big come November when everything tips off here real soon.
I mean, I think Jermaine Merrill, without question. I mean, I think the biggest thing that helped him over the summer was he got invited to so many different things with the CP3 camp. He went and test the waters in the NBA draft and worked out for a lot of teams. So got a chance to see himself against a different style and a different type of competition with jobs on the line. So, you know, when you're facing, if you're in a fight and it's a fight for a job, it's a different kind of fight. You know, I think we all know that. So he got to gauge himself against them and learn a lot about himself, good and bad. So he made a lot of changes to himself, his body, his getting in shape, his, you know, and the things that he thought he needed to do to help us win, to help us and get our program to the next level, but get himself hopefully to the next level. Now, outside of Greg Hextall, which probably was our best all-around player last year, led us in rebounding, maybe 3rd or 4th in scoring. You know, I think in the last 10, 11 games of the year, he may have been 2nd on the team in scoring, or maybe 3rd. So he, over the summer, he looked to build up. He worked on a lot of different things and looked to build off that. And you're talking about a 6'7 kid that played 1 through 4 for us last year. So we're looking for him to do big things. And then other than that, it's the kids that we brought in. Edward Oliver Hampton from Colby Community College, 6'7", multifaceted player. Davion Warren and Saheem Anthony, both 6'5", 6'6", wings, extremely athletic. Along with those kids, and then Benjamin Stanley, who was the only freshman that came off the bench for us last year, that played significant minutes. You know, all those kids we hope will bring, help us pick up our style of play going into it this year. You know, we like to do things like switch 1-4 and this and that. You know, we got a lot of guys that are similar size.
And coach, as you said, it's positionless basketball. I can hear a lot of guys in that 6'5", 6'7" range. You can switch anything you want to switch, interchangeable parts. That's what basketball is becoming now. It's having five guys who are athletic out there who can score and defend, use their length, and just wreak havoc on the court, making it hard for the team to score and get out in the break, primary, since they can get their breaks and score the ball fast as you can.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like, you know, if the game has become positionless, you know, and really have taken the big man out of it. If you got a big man that you go to, it's got to be a big man that you're willing to slow the game down for, and you can get dividends from it. But I think the other thing is you got to be able to have an energetic and change of pace style of point guard, because that position has changed. It's not your traditional point guard anymore. It's a point guard that can score, defend, and score at all three levels. And you know, most in these, in today's day and age, they're more athletic than what you probably used to seeing before. You know, but again, with it being positionless, we went after a lot of guys, like you said, that can do like things, similar size, that now we can pretty much go to the next best player versus trying to fit certain slots.
You got that right. And coach, and when the teams played you in the Big South, I feel like that your style you play is very fun style to play ball, very athletic ball you play. Did you feel like the coach in the league kind of was shocked about you all as well? Because I know it was adjusting for you guys, of course, but the other coaches probably adjust seeing how athletic your team is, because you've done it in the MEAC for so many years. How you guys played and played fast and defended like crazy. I know that Kyle gets some coaches in trouble in the Big South as well.
Well, I think one thing I can say, I haven't had a lot of discussion with the coaches about this, but I think the speed of play that we brought, again, like you said, and the athleticism, I think within conference play, we probably averaged 82, 83 points a game, 81 overall. I mean, we were a top 20 scoring team in the country last year. So, again, we were able to get up and down the court and play at a different pace that I think they had to adjust to just as well as, you know, the tough part about it for us was in some instances, but I think we were able to adjust was everybody could kind of get tape on us of playing each other. We had 13 different teams we had to try, or 12 different teams we had to try to figure out, you know, on the fly. But again, I do think the athleticism and the style of play that we played did cause some concern.
Look at the non-conference schedule for you guys, coach. Outside the Big South games you got to play, I see a high beta trip to Illinois, some quality mid-major matchups as well, also some old rivals from the old MEAC. So what are you getting to play these games do for the Hampton brand and get you more of on national level for us? Come say, hey, the Hampton Pirates, we got something brewing here. So check us out for real.
Well, you know what I think? I would like to believe that what we've done or what we were doing was before we even made it to the Big South, with the way that we played those games. I think our formula hasn't really changed moving into the Big South. We try to get a schedule that's as competitive as possible that can get us ready for conference play. And we want to learn as much about ourselves in the non-conference so that when we go into conference play, the one thing that I do believe that non-conference play ain't going to make us a break. Cause I don't care if you're in the Big South or the MEAC. I do believe that if you don't win that conference, you ain't going to the conference tournament. You ain't going to the NCAA tournament.
You got that right.
So that's one thing that I try to stress to our young men. Though we want to go win and try to compete every game, the education process begins at life and ends at death. So at the end of the day, we want to be as competitive and as good as we can, but also learn as much as we can, because when we walk into February and go into March, we want to be the best team mentally and physically that we can be at that time. That's when I'd rather peak.
You got there right, Coach, because like you said, at the level, mid-range level, if you don't win those 3 or 4 days in March, whatever the conference tournament is, you're pretty much going to the NIT unless you win the conference or the CIT or CBI. This is how it works. And people just want to peak too early. That I said, Bo Powell, see, like you said, you want to peak late February, early March, get hot on that tournament and get that punch at that ticket right there.
Right. And again, that's the belief that we had, and I would like to hope, think that that's the reason that we've been able to peak every year, Big South, MEAC, whatever. When it comes to February and March, we're always at our best, and we're always a tough team to beat. So I think it's because of that mindset. But you know, at the end of the day, that's not saying that we don't take the non-conference seriously. I love to go 32-0 to 31-02.
I hear that, Coach Jordan. Thank you for coming on the show again. I look forward to talking to you down the road, and good luck to you and the Pirates, man. I'll be cheering for you guys. I'll see my HBCU schools do well, man. So definitely be cheering for you and the Pirates, man.
I appreciate it, brother.
All right, now, this is Buck Joyner on the Boss Man Show, people.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, WinterGuard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Hip-hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you 2 discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, IllStreetRex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh. Family Grind ENT. Believe in it. Get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush.
Vicky, who is that?
An old boyfriend.
Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City.
Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow.
Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby. And it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.
I was back on the Boss Man Show talking some Lakers hoops with Trevor Lane, senior writer for Lakers Nation. Trevor, what's good out there on the West Coast, man?
Man, things are going well out here. It's the calm before the storm right now. The season's starting up in a few weeks. Can't wait for it, but at the same time, trying to enjoy these last few weeks of basketball free life till the madness begins.
I hear that. Same here, brother. I'm kind of still with the NBA, Trevor. They put the Hawks on a back-to-back Clippers and Lakers, so I don't get one at one trip like this year. I hate that, man. They screwed me. I wanted two trips, not just one.
That's suddenly a tough trip. I mean, the last few years, it hasn't been too bad. You've had the Clippers were good and the Lakers were bad, and before that, it was vice versa. But now, man, teams coming into L.A., if you've got a back-to-back, that's two tough games in a row. Tough spot to be in, especially with L.A. nightlife. Got to hope the team's not going out too late or anything in Los Angeles.
Well, with the Hawks players, I know they're going out. No matter what, win or lose, they're going out. Yes, indeed. But Charles, speaking of a former Atlanta Hawk, Dwight Howard, he signed with Lakers on a 1-year non-guaranteed deal to DeMarcus Cousins when I would have torn ACL. So, how do you feel about Dwight Howard coming to the Lakers for a second run here with LeBron and the guys here?
Oh, man, certainly a lot of mixed feelings in Los Angeles about Dwight Howard coming back. A lot of Lakers fans remember what happened with him the last time he was in town, only staying for a season and then leaving for the Houston Rockets in free agency. So Howard definitely was not a favorite of Lakers fans, to say the least. But now that he's on the team, I think there's a little bit of cautious optimism, hope that he can at least provide some rebounding, some defense, make up for a little bit of maybe what DeMarcus Cousins would have brought. Of course, can't expect him to make up everything because Cousins has such a versatile game. But, cautious optimism right now. But, man, you know what? Dwight better be on his best behavior because, like you said, that deal is non-guaranteed and they can cut him loose at any time. So we'll see. You know, I'm rooting for Dwight here. I hope that he pulls it together and can kind of salvage his career because it does feel like this is going to be his last stop if it doesn't work out.
And I know part of it is Anthony Davis does not want to play center at all. He's made it clear to Frank Vogel, anybody listen, I'm a 4 out of 5. So getting a center in there was very crucial to keeping AD happy because you want to resign him next summer, of course, to keep him in the like minimum, you know, for 5 years on a max deal. So having Dwight Howard will help AD kind of be happy and playing what he wants to play, which is the 4, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the word is that Anthony Davis will be okay playing center if it's the playoffs or if it's crunch time of the games or in the fourth quarter, then he's okay with it. He just doesn't want that banging inside his body on a nightly basis. He doesn't want to be in the paint hitting guys like Joel Embiid and Rudy Gobert and dealing with some of the bigger guys in there, which makes a lot of sense given his injury history. He doesn't want to be taking that physical toll, so he needs somebody in the middle to kind of do the dirty work for him. And So that's why signing Dwight Howard makes a lot of sense for the team. And like you mentioned, they do want to re-sign Anthony Davis. So probably best to keep him happy for the next year or so, at least until the ink dries on the contract next summer.
And speaking of starting center, JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard, in your opinion right now? I'm kind of a toss-up. I think JaVale might be a better option to start at the moment.
Yeah, I actually just did a poll for Lakers fans on Twitter asking that question. JaVale McGee was the overwhelming favorite. And you know, digging into the advanced stats and everything, JaVale, his offensive rating is light years beyond what we saw from Dwight Howard. His ability to operate out of the pick and roll. You know, historically, Dwight is clearly the better player. He's got the better career, the three-time defensive player of the year, multi-time all-star, MVP candidate. JaVale McGee never touched that. But right now, in 2019, I do think JaVale is probably the better player. He's actually even the better rim protector right now, statistically. So I think he ultimately gets the nod, which is going to be a great test for Dwight Howard to see how committed he is to really doing whatever it takes to make the team, even if that means coming off the bench. I think we'll find out real quick if he's got his mind right.
Now, Trevor, do you feel like the Lakers made a mistake by waiting on Kawhi Leonard because you missed out on so many guys' free agency that they could have gotten with that max out they created with the New Orleans Pelicans trade there? Because I feel like the Lakers, I mean, I wouldn't have waited because I kind of had a feeling he's going to the Clippers and just from a hunch. You know, he never especially wanted to go there initially. It was always the Clippers we heard and or the Raptors. So do you feel like it was a mistake waiting on him or just do it and hope for the best and make the best of whatever you had left?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the right decision to make. I think they had to. If you're in the running for a guy like Kawhi Leonard, a potential league MVP, top five player in the league, if you're going to take a chance, take a risk and wait a little longer, that's the kind of guy you're going to take a risk on. You know, if you land him, you're looking at, I mean, load management becomes a very easy thing. You can rest one of those guys on most nights. You can rest one of your big three of Kawhi and AD and LeBron. So, yeah, I definitely see why they did it. Yes, some guys went off the board, but there weren't a whole lot of deals that went down early where I thought, oh, man, that's a great deal. I really wish the Lakers had got that one. So while there were a lot of players that were coming off the board, I don't feel like they were all the best contracts. So I was okay with them waiting and then seeing what was left on the market. It did leave a little bit of a thin free agent market for them to pick from, but I think they did just fine given the circumstances.
Now, how do you think those guys would feel, like Danny Green, those guys, Jared Dudley, and bringing back Rajon Rondo? How do you think they all going to fit together around LeBron? I know that one thing you needed this season was shooting. The last offseason, signing Lance Stevenson and Rondo, who are shooters, KCP's back. He always sees a clutch guy. He gets back always for you guys. KCP doing his thing, getting their contract, you know, checks, and being a Rich Paul guy. But how do you think all those guys going to gel together now with around AD and LeBron and what you all got left here there?
Yeah, I mean, look, KCP seems to be the automatic contract, and maybe that's the Rich Paul effect there that's happening. He's what you get when you have LeBron James, and you know he's fine. But as far as getting those guys to gel together, the real question is going to be how do they get all these guards to fit, because they've added a ton of guards to this team. You know, you've got KCP, you've got Rondo coming back, you've got Alex Caruso coming back. Then they add in Troy Daniels, they add Quinn Cook, Avery Bradley, even Danny Green's going to play most of his minutes at the two. So they're really, really stacked at the guard position. And not necessarily that they've got a lot of top-tier talent there, but they've got a lot of guys that are at least deserving of minutes. So how they manage that's going to be interesting, and that's going to play a big role in the team's chemistry, as well as if any of those guys can slide down and play a little bit of backup small forward, because that's the one thing they really don't have right now, is a backup small forward. So if a guy like Avery Bradley can slide down a position or two, that'll help alleviate things a lot. So that's going to be something to watch, that battle going on at the guard position. And then I think it is ultimately, like you said, going to come down to who can gel the best with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And that's going to determine who's going to win minutes for this Lakers team.
And, Trevor, what concerns me about the Lakers more so is the coaching, because I like Frank Vogel, I like Coach Holland, Jason Kidd, but they all are defensive guys, per se. So what offense are you going to run? Because that's my question, because Vogel, all those guys on the bench are mostly guys that run defensive-first ships. So offensively, what's going to be the system when we see come October here?
Yeah, I mean, that is the big question right now, because we know, as you said, these guys are all defense-first coaches. Frank Vogel's offensive system is going to have to look a lot different, and to his credit, he's said all the right things about his offense so far. He's talked about how he's completely revolutionized the way he looks at the offensive end of the game, how he's changed all of his schemes and everything because he spent his year away from the NBA studying and preparing in case an opportunity did come up for him to come back. So he's changed a lot of his offensive systems. Based on the personnel they've gone after, it looks like they're going to be playing a lot of outside in play. So, you know, getting 3-point shooters like Danny Green, like Quinn Cook, to spread the floor and then open things up in the middle for guys like Anthony Davis, which is the opposite of what Frank Vogel used to do. His offense in Indiana was based on inside-out play, getting the ball into the middle and then kicking it out. So I do think we're going to see a bit more of a modern offense, but is it going to be the super high-level stuff that we see from some of these other coaches like a Brad Stevens or Doc Rivers or somebody like that? I don't know. That's yet to be seen, and I think that's going to be a big factor in Frank Vogel's success this season.
And Trevor, if I'm Frank Vogel, I'll be worried too, because I got Jesse Kidd on my staff and Lionel Hollins, two former head coaches. Nah, I don't think Lionel Hollins will try nothing, but Jason Kidd, I'm very worried about, may go over my shoulder. Or it may be like David Blatt and Ty Lue in Cleveland with LeBron going to Jay Kidd and not Coach Vogel there.
Yeah, that's been all the talk in Los Angeles, is how long is Vogel going to be in this job? How long is it going to be before the Lakers just promote Jason Kidd? Because it seems like he's a favorite of theirs. He's somebody they really wanted. They just didn't feel like they could make him a head coach just yet. So, you know what? These whispers are going to pop up. As soon as there's a losing streak or something like that, we're going to start hearing rumblings about maybe a coaching change. I hope Frank Vogel is successful, but it's definitely going to be a tough spot for him to be in. So far, both him and Jason Kidd are saying all the right things about being on the same page and everything. But you know what? Everybody in the league is saying the right things right now, because it's August and everybody thinks that their team made all the right moves and everything's fine. Once the season starts and then we hit some rough patches, then we're going to really see where the chips fall.
You got that right. And beyond JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, what's about other battles in training camp you're looking forward to in the preseason to see who gets what roles here?
Well, I think the other jobs are pretty much locked down with the exception of point guard. You know, you're going to have most likely a starting lineup that's going to include, you know, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Danny Green. Those guys are going to be your 4-3 and your 2. The question is, who's going to be your one? Who's your point guard out there? And there was that talk of LeBron being a point guard this season and everything. I don't buy it. That's something that, you know, he's always done on the offensive end. But you're not going to ask LeBron James to go chase Russell Westbrook around or any of the quick guards in the NBA. You need somebody out there who can defend point guards. And so the question is, does that wind up being Quinn Cook? Does it end up being Rajon Rondo? Is it Alex Caruso? Any of these guys that they've brought in? And that's going to be definitely a battle to look at. Avery Bradley could even get in on the race there as a one. He did play that a little bit for the Boston Celtics. So I think that's going to be the key race to look at. Aside from JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard for the 5 spot, who ultimately wins out at point guard is going to be a really interesting discussion.
That's what I got for you, Trevor, is this. The West is stacked, man. So how do you see the Lakers finishing in this stacked Western Conference we have here, with the Golden State kind of down this year, but you know the OKC made a move, Houston of course, the Clippers with Kawhi, Portland still there, Denver is still a year better now, so it's a lot of teams out West, man. So I see the Lakers kind of shaking out in this stacked race we got here, this arms race to win all these games this year.
The West is absolutely brutal. I mean, there's two teams in the Western Conference that you can look at and say, okay, that's not a playoff contender, and that's the Phoenix Suns and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Amen.
Other than that, every team you could look at and say, hey, that team could make the playoffs. You could talk me into the Kings making it. You could talk me into the Mavs making it. Any of these clubs could definitely sneak in. So there are no nights off in the Western Conference. It's going to be absolutely brutal. So I'm going to say the Lakers finish around 5th. I think there's going to be enough nights where they need to rest LeBron, enough nights where they need to rest Anthony Davis, that they're going to drop some games. It's not going to be seamless. It's always tough when you're incorporating new players and a new system and a new coach. There's going to be hiccups along the way. I think the talent ultimately wins out, and so I'll see them settle in right around 5th or so in the West.
Good deal. Trevor, I'll talk to you down the road, brother. Catch with the Lakers. Like I told you out there, man. A lot of Laker fans are here in Atlanta when I see them play the Hawks. So I want to give them what they need. The Laker update, man.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. And, yeah, anytime, happy to come on and talk Lakers. And, you know, hey, the Lakers fans are everywhere. So I guess even in Atlanta, we'll take it.
All right, man. Trevor, have a good one. Talk to you real soon, brother.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you later.
All right, Trevor Lane, people, on the Boss Man Show.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academics.com. And athletics academicsandathleticconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-6079. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blue Ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-E-R-R-Y, prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, WinterGuard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-6079. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.